Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy without sacrificing power or flexibility. Feel free to upload your own WordPress theme or use one of the 20 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all the amazing things you can do with the StudioPress site, and you'll understand why it offers a lot more than traditional WordPress hosting. No matter how you'll be using your site, we have a plan to fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, visit rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Hey there, great to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone, and I am the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. I write at least once a week for the Copyblogger blog, and you can catch more mindset or ranty stuff by going to Remarkable Communication. Remember, you can always get the show notes for every episode. That includes links. A lot of times it includes free extras by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm, and that's also where you can get the complete show archive. So this week I have more thoughts from our editorial meetings. We get together every Monday, the team, and it always is just interesting food for thought. And this week we really got to talking about strategy and technology and how they work with content. And we were thinking about what is, you know, the great underlying problem with content. Because we are seeing a lot of people looking around and saying things that used to work really well don't work as well as they did. And it seems to be harder to get engagement and just harder to get attention because there is so much content. So from where I'm sitting, just looking at people's content and also looking at the way people talk about how they create their content, I see two issues. They're really two edges of the same sword. And it's a problem that can get you, you know, two different ways. So the first one is the person who considers themselves to be an artist, a pure artist. They care about, let's say, words and creativity. And when somebody starts talking about something like content strategy, they really want to throw up in their mouth a little bit. This is actually fairly easy to fix or straightforward to fix if you want to fix it. And that's kind of where things can go sideways. So I've seen that the people who are more artistic writers, the people who kind of, you know, always wrote, they loved to write from the time they were kids, and they get turned off of content because so much of it is really not very good. You know, they see these things, they see these listicles and this kind of cynical mass-produced content, and they get turned off of the whole idea. But it's absolutely possible, of course, to do it well and to do it effectively. So thinking that that's an either-or choice is really a false choice. And I see it as very similar to the relationship between illustration and fine art. So an illustrator creates a piece of visual work for a defined purpose. It's going to, you know, it's going to be on a coffee mug, or it's going to illustrate an article in the New York Times Magazine. It's going to have a purpose, and that purpose is well-defined. And a fine art painter is going to do work for self-expression. And both of those are awesome. But we don't have to hate Toulouse-Lautrec's poster work because it had commercial intent. And so I think the secret for creative people, people who do really care about the language, care about the words, is to just decide really wholeheartedly to embrace that Toulouse-Lautrec. In other words, to learn how to use that skill that you've spent so much time crafting as an artist, as a creative, to serve a purpose. Not being cheesy, not dumbing down your work, but just using your art and your craft to serve a purpose. And the other edge of that sword, and you tend to see this quite a bit in larger organizations, is that they serve the strategy and they serve the technology, the strategic technology, before they serve the art. And in fact, a lot of times they're looking at their analytics dashboard instead of thinking about the art. So their dashboard says that heartwarming content does well, and that leads them to do something like run their content through some kind of a filter, looking for words that have a high heartwarming index, and analyze their photos for, you know, the 10 subjects that they have found to be most heartwarming, and they know they want a sunset, and it's got to have 2.5 kittens on it, and a quote that's no more than 9 words, and a color scheme that is within this range on the Pantone scale. They're trying to use technology for things that human beings are actually really amazing at. So why do that? Why create, you know, why buy an expensive analytical tool and to do something that you could just get people to do? Now, the usual answer is in order to scale. But looking around, the last time I checked, we have something like 7 billion people on the planet. I have a hard time believing that we cannot scale creativity, we cannot scale artistic expression, we can't scale human-to-human connection, you know, without a robot to do those things for us. It just doesn't seem plausible to me. So it's certainly a trend for tech startups to keep trying to replace people with machines for all kinds of increasingly complex work. And I think we're very aware right now that these technology companies keep creating unsatisfying approximations of work that a well-trained human is really good at. So right now we're seeing machines or people assisted by machines just kind of cranking out this massive volume of very, very similar content, because that's exactly the kind of task that machines are good at. High volume, high consistency. And then we get concerned about content shock because there's this massive volume of content that's very consistent, very similar. So forgive me if this sounds like crazy talk, but I don't think the answer is that complicated, which is that we use human beings to create content that is original and fresh and new and exciting. So it's really not about getting rid of that assist from the machines, the assist from the technology tool, the strategy tool. Those are wonderful tools. You just want to use them for what they're really good at. So as a general rule, again, this is something we sort of talked about in our editorial meeting. I thought it was really, in some ways, a theme of what Copyblogger is about and really where we're focusing this year. That theme being the idea that technology needs to serve people, that people should not serve technology. Technology is our servant, it's not our leader or our master. And we have been preaching this about search engine optimization forever. Good SEOs have also been preaching this about good search engine optimization forever, which is that people, businesses, they get into this mode of trying to serve the search engine robots and do all these distortions and peculiar things to make the robots happy, instead of serving the human readers of the content or the watchers of the video or the listeners to the audio content. But robots cannot ever become our clients or our customers. And, you know, good SEO sites and SEO educators and SEO professionals have been preaching this for a long time. But for whatever reason, sometimes business is a little slow to catch up with that message. And as important as it is for search engine optimization, it's vital for any kind of content marketing where you really want your content to do some marketing work, to do some of the work in finding prospects and convincing them that what you've got is worth paying for. So definitely do not be afraid of analytics. This is not anti-analytics at all. Definitely look at those reports. Definitely look at those charts and see what's working. Notice what's working and what's not working. And those tools are wonderful for helping us to see those patterns. But I would really advise that you not be so quick to act on the pattern until you have a gut human feeling for why that pattern is coming up. That human spark is still going to be the secret sauce. So human creativity and human understanding and human empathy. So at Copyblogger, we really like to empower humans. We really love writers. We always have loved writers. And more, I'm observing that the more companies try to either get away from hiring really strong creative writers, so the ones who understand art and human emotion and strategy, the worse those companies do. And very much along the same lines, the companies that are not listening to their creative professionals, they're sort of making them, again, serve the technology instead of the technology serving the writer. They're not doing well, and that's catching up with them quite quickly. So my advice to you, if you are a company or a manager or somebody who's in charge of making content happen, get smarter about this. Get some real writers on your team and manage them well. And in my experience, creative people are a wonderful team players. They add a lot to the team, but you probably have to have some tolerance for the stuff that really doesn't matter anyway. You know, things like the dress code or tattoos or whatever it is. I know some incredibly talented, capable, very hardworking, and very strategic people who have blue hair or pink hair or green hair. And kind of a sideline to that is really think carefully about hiring for cultural fit, which sounds like a great idea, right? We're going to hire people who are going to fit in with our culture. But that is exactly how you end up with a team that all think exactly alike. And you might look around at some of the content fails. You know, they happen quite regularly around tone, kind of tone-deaf advertising or communication. And it creates these storms on Twitter, and it's ugly, and the company has to do all this apologizing. It's because there weren't enough different points of view in the room when that piece of communication was created, or they were there, but they didn't get heard. They couldn't speak up, or they did speak up, and they didn't get listened to. So hiring pro tip, especially when we're talking about creative work, but really, you know, any kind of work, really try and bring in some people who don't think exactly like you do, and who might not look like you look, and who might be able to bring in some kind of a different angle, some kind of a fresh point of view. We need these kind of dynamic, diverse points of view in order to be able to compete in this super, super competitive environment. And then definitely give those folks the constraints. So, you know, it has to be blue and you can't swear, and it has to be 27 seconds long. That's all great, but let them create strong work. And you may want to think about, what are you willing to speak strongly about? What are you willing to make a strong statement? It's not necessarily that you're willing to be controversial, but sometimes, you know, that it can be controversial work. But what are you willing to take a stand for? And the other side of that, if you are a writer, look for the smart companies. There is an increasing number of these kind of smart, agile companies out there. Now, a lot of those companies are on the smaller side, but not necessarily. You know, there are some giant companies that have produced a lot of really remarkable creative work. I'm thinking of Apple, actually also Coca-Cola, which has a long history of really creative, strong work with their advertising. But that culture has to be there to respect and listen to the creative. And also for writers, don't shy away from cultivating your own skills as an artist. So maybe you write poetry or screenplays, or you write fiction, or even you do some visual art. There is a certain kind of copywriting teacher or business writing teacher who says that all of that is self-indulgent, you know, that it's kill your darlings, get rid of that stuff, leave it on the cutting room floor. And in my opinion, where we are right now, I think that advice is no longer serving us the way it once did. So again, maybe think about those great posters by Toulouse-Lautrec. It wasn't only Toulouse-Lautrec. Picasso also produced some wonderful posters. The art, when it's paired with a strong, clear business objective, just the same way an illustration for a poster or a magazine article. That's what's really working now, and I think it's going to continue working for quite a while, especially as, you know, machines create more work. What's valuable is the kind of work that cannot be created by a machine. And finally, I would just counsel you to trust yourself. I cannot tell you how many times when I was working for a rather large organization that I had a strong idea that I knew would make money, that I knew could be produced efficiently, and I did not have the confidence in myself, so I let other people steamroll me. And as it happens, the same exact people came around, you know, a year or two after I left that company and asked if they could, you know, take me to coffee and pick my brain. So yeah, the answer to that was no. And if you've been kind of tracking what we've been up to on Copyblogger, this idea of the killer and the poet, the killer strategist with the tools, the analytics, the technology, combined with the poet, the artist, the creative, and that combination is really what's standing out and really what's working. We do have a new class that's really very much oriented around that kind of core idea, and more specifically oriented around helping you or people like you to get familiar with that core strategic framework that makes content marketing work. So it's like I was saying earlier about those constraints. When you know what the framework looks like, then you can work creatively within that framework and you can have confidence that it's going to create business results. This course also covers topics like hitting your deadlines, like gaining just that fundamental SEO literacy, understanding what search engine optimization is really about. It's about polishing your work, and it's even got a module on managing your stress level. We are going to be launching that course very, very, very shortly. So if you want to find out more about it, you can go to copyblogger.com/creative-foundations-interest. Or you can just swing over to Copyblogger FM. That's copyblogger.fm in your browser, and I'll have a link for you in the show notes. And of course, that's just the interest list, no obligation or anything like that, but it will let you know all the details when it's time for us to bring in our new group of students. So that's it. That's our double-edged sword that can really kill your content's effectiveness, which is strategy and particularly technology-driven strategy. If you have any experience with one of these tools, good or bad, has it really helped you create amazing work, or has it ever hindered you? I would love to hear about it. You can just swing on over to copyblogger.fm, leave us a comment, or hit me up on Twitter at Sonia Simone. Thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.